So what comes after behavior?
Actually, the series was a six-week session for a long time. And the feedback that I was getting from parents is, this is too hard. I can't do this. This is raising the bar too high. And I thought, well, why can't we do it? And what I realized is that parenting never used to be and was never intended to be a one or two person job. It does take a village to raise a child, or at least an extended family. And one of the most damaging things that's happened for families today has been the disappearance of the extended family, that parents are trying to do it themselves, that, you know, two working parents or a single working parent is trying to meet all the emotional needs of all their children. And it's not possible to do for one or two people. We need more people than that, because children's needs are best met by parents whose needs are met. In order for parents to get their own needs met, they need a support system. They can't work all the time and be with their children 24/7 and never get an opportunity to refill their own cup. So in the class, we work on how do we increase our support network? How do we find support for our children? The example that I love to use is when we travel by plane and the flight attendant is demonstrating the oxygen equipment. They always say, if you are traveling with a young child, put on your own oxygen mask first. And that so illustrates how we cannot fill children's cups, their love cup, if we don't get our own needs met. If our own needs are screaming at us so loudly, we can't hear what children need. So we need to create family of choice. If we don't have biological family who is around and part of our life, then we need to bring other people. We need to create relationships with other people so that our children can have relationships with other people and to have bonds with other people in their life so that everyone can get what they need. And one of the most serious things that's happening for children in the way that we live today is they're spending so many hours with people that they don't have a bond with.
Yeah.
Very often people in my classes will say that their friends say, why are you taking a parenting class? You know, why do we need a parenting class? Our parents didn't ever do parenting classes. And what's happened is that the bond that children need used to occur naturally by how we lived. I mean, even 100 years ago, less than 100 years ago, babies were born at home. They were breastfed. They spent their early years at home with their family. And the bond just occurred naturally. No one had to think about the bond. And we don't live that way anymore. Today, most babies are born in the hospital. Most babies are not breastfed. And many, many babies and young children spend a large part of their day with unrelated others that they do not have a bond with. So today we do have to pay attention to the bond. We do have to pay attention to protecting the parent-child bond and to making sure that children get opportunities to bond with the others who care for them. Others caring for our children is not a new thing. Parents have always worked. The difference is that the people who cared for their children while they worked were people they had a bond with. It was the people in their village. It was the people in their extended family. And childcare has become the extended family by default. If parents have to work and there's no family member to care for their child, they have to turn to professional childcare. And parents are really pulled in two different directions. They have to work in order to provide for their children's physical needs just so they can survive. And they need to be with their children to meet their psychological and emotional needs so that they can thrive. So connection parenting is a way for parents to do both. And it's a challenge to do both. It's certainly easier to create that bond with children if at least one of the parents can be home with them or if parents can divide that up. But it is possible if we're conscious of it, if we're conscious that that bond needs to be kept strong all the time. No matter what circumstance we're in, we can find creative ways to, you know, go have lunch with the child at daycare or to do special dates with them and make sure that we're connecting with them every day, that we do special time every day so that we can make that shift from parenting through coercion and forcing children to do the things that we want them to do, to doing it through our connection. Because coercion only works until they're as big as we are. You know, sending them to time out is not going to work when they're a teenager. So by the time they're teenagers, we need to have something much stronger in place than coercion. And the bond, the connection that we have with them, is what is stronger than that. And we need to start building that as early as we can. A lot of the parents who come to my workshops didn't have this information on strong bonding when their children are young. And so they worry about, do I still have time? Can I still build a strong bond with my child? And my experience has been that it's never too late to strengthen our bond with our child. It's much easier if we start at the beginning. It can be a lot more work if they're older and we've not been aware of the bond and how to keep the bond strong. But as soon as we have the information, we can start building that, because the bond exists from birth. And whether it gets stronger or weaker depends on how it is nurtured. So parents can begin right where they are with this consciousness now that that bond is a high priority, and start being with children in a way that nurtures that connection.
So what would be a couple of examples of things that parents can do with their children now that could help to strengthen and build that bond and connection?
One of the primary things is having connection time every day, to have special time each day, even 10 minutes, minimum of 10 minutes, where they totally focus on the child. And, you know, if it's a very young child, a really effective way of doing it is to call the time they spend together by the child's name. So it might be Bobby time or Mary time. And the child knows that when it's that time, they're going to have that parent's undivided attention and really connect with them, to have eye contact, to have physical contact, to play, to do something fun. That's one of the strongest ways that we connect with children, is by playing with them. So to incorporate that, just make that part of our everyday life, that we're going to have that time with them.
So this is just one child, one parent, no other siblings or anybody else?
Right.
Yeah, okay.
And that can be challenging to do when you have several young children and the other parent is away working. So then we have to look for resource, and that's where resource comes in. And some parents accomplish it by spending time with one while the younger one is napping, or spending time with the younger one while the other one is at school or preschool. But being looking for those opportunities where we get to spend that one-on-one special time with them. That's one of the really important things that we can do. The other is to have a weekly date, and a date can be anything. It can be an hour, it can be an afternoon, where the parent takes the child away from the rest of the family and just does something special with that one child. And depending on what parents do have for resource, they may not be able to have a date with all of, you know, if they have four children, that's four dates a week. So they may rotate it. But making sure that children know that the parents' relationship with them is a high priority to them by spending time with them.
Well, that sounds like a couple of great ideas. And you know, even in today's complicated world, I'm sure that pretty much any parent could figure out a way to pull those two off.
They can. And even if it's not 10 minutes, even if it's 5 minutes, yeah. It's more about the consistency than the length of time. And some parents do it at bedtime by reading stories or the bedtime ritual. That is quality time, but it's higher quality time when it includes eye contact and physical touch. And so when I said that quality time cannot substitute for quantity of time, that is true, and there is a difference in quality of time. If we sit and watch a video together, that will be a certain level of quality. We are together, we are sharing an experience, but that quality of time will be very different than the quality of time where we actively play with the child, you know, to play hide and go seek or chase or wrestling, where there's a lot of connection. Because in the same way that children have the cup that I talked about where they store their hurts, they also have their love cup. And that's the emotional fuel that they run on every day.
So there are two cups.
Two cups. The one we want to keep empty and the one we want to keep full. The love cup is the one we want to keep full. And we fill that cup through connecting with them, through playing with them. And that's going to look different at every age and stage that a child is in. How we spend that 10 minutes with a one-year-old is going to look different than how we spend it with a four-year-old or a 10-year-old or a 15-year-old.
So it sounds like this is really a function of attention. In the example that you gave, if we're watching a video with our child, we may be with our child, but the attention's on the video.
Right.
And if we're with them and we're playing with them, then the attention is actually on the child.
Absolutely.
And that speaks to what you were saying earlier, that children need that attention, and that's the core of the connection.
Absolutely. I once heard every child needs someone who thinks the sun rises and sets on them. They need that loving connection with an adult who is devoted to them. And that's what they experience when we do that special time with them each day, that I am special, that someone cares about me, I matter.